Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. When we ended last week, we looked at those people who, when killing you, think they are doing God a service. Let's revisit John 16, verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God service. And these things they will do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. These are people who acknowledge God, but who are not of the faith. Jesus wasn't talking about agnostics who deny God, because they would have no desire to help God. Why might others who see themselves as trying to kill us think they are helping God? These are the type of people who today can be found attacking non-believers and others who they see as living a sinful lifestyle, and this week we will see how these people are not clear on God's plan of salvation and do not understand that our merciful God has created a plan of salvation that includes the hope of eternal life, even for those who do not believe today. These people who would kill others thinking they are doing God a service don't fully understand being called and chosen of God, nor do they understand what happens at the resurrection for those who are not called and chosen of God at this time. We can go back and see how God considered his relationship with Israel and the reasons why Israel was called and chosen by God to be his people. Beyond the narrative of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in Genesis, we can find a good summary of God's reasons in the book of Deuteronomy. God was telling the Israelites to completely take over the land that God was giving them, and to destroy the people who lived there. There were to be no agreements made with the people, nor were there to be marriages between the people already living there and the Israelites. All signs of their religion were to be destroyed, as only the God of Israel would be worshipped in Israel. Deuteronomy 7, verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shall thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall you deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. God then reminds the people of Israel, they were chosen to be a special people above all other people on earth, not because of anything they did, but because God loved them and would keep promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to a thousand generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments, and the statutes, and the judgments, which I command thee this day to do them. Throughout the history of Israel, God would call specific people to fulfill specific responsibilities. Take, for example, Samuel. Samuel was a child living with Eli, the priest of God, who lived in the city of Shiloh. Samuel's mother Hannah had vowed that if God would give her a son, she would make sure her son would serve God. When Samuel was old enough, Hannah left him with Eli to fulfill her vow. And it was while living with Eli that God called Samuel in a very literal way. Let's read the account in 1 Samuel 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. When God started to call Samuel, at first Samuel thought it was Eli calling for him. Samuel didn't understand that God was calling him and would begin working with him until Eli pointed that out. God called, and Samuel responded, though at first he did not understand that it was God calling him. Today, we have people who may not understand when God is calling them. Paul made very clear in several of his letters that God calls people to the faith. Let's read how he started his first letter to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. It was God who called the people to the faith, the fellowship of Jesus Christ. We live in a world where so many love Jesus and yet do not understand that without God's calling, there is no coming to Jesus Christ. The Ephesians were encouraged to live their lives worthy of the faith to which they had been called. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. The Philippians were reminded that the good work that was within them was at the hand of God. Philippians 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my hands and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Paul reminded the Corinthians, Ephesians, and Philippians that the faith that they had was due to a calling that came from God first. Just like the people of Israel were God's people, that was due to what God did first. We in the church today are God's people due to what God did first. And it begins with the calling. Let's see how Jesus responded during his earthly ministry when Jews started to murmur about his teachings. Jesus clearly showed that no person can come to him unless the Father draw or call him. John 6, verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. There is nothing spiritual that happens unless God first calls a person. Once that calling comes and a person accepts and lives according to that calling, then wonderful spiritual things begin to happen for the person. Paul pointed out to the Romans that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes, and that through Jesus, people of faith will be saved from death and given eternal life. Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Before a person can be a person of faith and given the incredible hope of eternal life, they must be called and chosen. When Samuel was first called by God, Samuel didn't understand it was God calling him. Eli had to point that out to him. From the life of Samuel, we know that once Samuel understood it was God calling him, God was able to do incredible things through Samuel. Similarly, today, once a person understands they are being called by God and respond to God's calling, they can begin to do incredible things also. Once a person accepts the calling of God and responds to it, then God can choose them. Being called and chosen is overlooked by too many today who consider themselves to be of the faith. Peter wrote of being chosen by God and reminded those reading his first letter to disavow and put aside all the evil that can creep into faith and to instead desire to grow spiritually through Jesus Christ. He reminded the reader that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people who are now the people of God. Peter describes the person called and chosen by God to be of the faith. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Paul reminded Timothy in his second letter that as the called and chosen of God, we cannot be ashamed of what Jesus taught, or ashamed of those who endure hardship for preaching the gospel, because we are all saved with a holy calling. That calling was given to us not because of anything we have done, but solely through God's purpose and grace. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. There are some who think being called and chosen are the same, but Jesus pointed out a distinction between the two. We can read the Gospel of Matthew to see an example given through a parable. In this parable, the kingdom of God is compared to a king who made a marriage for his son and invited guests to it. The guests didn't see the wedding as important and chose to do something else which made the king angry. Not wanting his son to be married before an empty house, the king found others to replace the invited guests. One of the replacement guests wasn't wearing clothes appropriate for a wedding and was tossed out of the wedding. Jesus concluded the parable by saying, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Matthew 22, verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. And when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So the servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all the many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to his servants, Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. In another place, Jesus clearly shows that not everyone who calls on Jesus will be saved. To be saved, we must do the will of God. What this shows is there is a correlation between being chosen and doing the will of God. We cannot ignore the will of God and hope to be saved. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. On his final night of his human life, Jesus explained to the disciples that he was the true vine, and God was the husbandman or gardener. He showed how people are like the branches of the vine, and explained how branches that do not produce fruit are taken away, and branches that produce fruit are pruned to maximize growth. We must grow spiritual fruit, and we must grow much fruit. When we spiritually grow and develop a lot of spiritual fruit, we bring glory to God. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Then Jesus reminded the disciples of the need to love one another, and that they did not choose Jesus, but Jesus chose them. Nobody comes to Jesus and the faith of and by themselves. God must choose them, and so must Jesus. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Being called and chosen does not mean we have any form of greatness. In a world that chases the famous, there is nothing famous about us. Those of us of the faith tend to be out of the public eye as not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many nobles are called today. Among the people of faith, there may be some who are wise, mighty, and noble, but most are ordinary people. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Jesus explained in a parable how God calls people and the likely result of God's calling. Let's read Matthew 13, verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Jesus used the example of a farmer planting his crop, showing how some seed were cast just outside the field, how other of the seed were cast in a stony area of the field, how other seed were choked by thorns growing nearby, and how the remaining fell on good ground and began to grow and produce fruit. Lots of fruit. Verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. At this point, the disciples wanted to know why Jesus spoke in parables. And Jesus told them it was done because not everyone was given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Those of us who read and understand the parables might take for granted that not everyone understands the parables. If we understand being called and chosen, we should understand the parables. Verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seen, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Jesus then went on to explain the parable of the sower. The seed that fell by the wayside is a person who does not understand what is being spiritually taught and becomes an easy target for Satan. The seed cast into the stony place is like a person who becomes excited for the word of God, but quickly loses interest and becomes offended by the truth. The seed cast by thorns shows that some people hear the word and become focused on what is important in this world, rather than in the hope of eternal life. Finally, the seed cast on good ground is like those who are called and who spiritually grow and grow and spiritually grow even more. Verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecutions arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. When we are called, there are no changes we need to bring to our life except to do what God expects of us, and that's enough all by itself. God doesn't expect of us to make changes to physical elements of our life, such as buying a new car or house. We don't need to go get a new job or pretend to be something we are not. All that we need to do is to do what God expects of us, summarized by the two great commandments of loving God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and loving our neighbor as ourself. We are to love others of the faith as well. In essence, we keep the commandments. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in the churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any man called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, thereby abide with God. As the called and chosen of God, as God's elect, we are to live our lives reflecting the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Everything we do is done in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We know that all things work together for good to all who love God, who are called according to his purpose. That means all things work together for good for all who are called and chosen. We also know with highest confidence that nothing ever will separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. People who today can be found attacking non-believers and others who they see as living a sinful lifestyle are not clear on God's plan of salvation. They do not clearly understand that a person must be called and chosen of God first. For those who are not yet called and chosen, our merciful God has created a plan of salvation That includes the hope of eternal life for those who do not believe today. Next week, we will look at the resurrections, plural, to see the mercy of God in action for all of those today who do not believe. Those who today attack non-believers and others who they see as living a sinful lifestyle do not understand about these resurrections, plural. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.